you have in mind. Yeah, that's what you're all about. Good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, sitting here with Becky Ivins herself. How are you doing, Becky?
Well, I'm doing great. I will tell you, it is a welcome back, Mark.
Oh, well, I need some welcome back Cotter. We didn't prep for that one, did we, Mike Gannon? My bad. So, yeah, I've been 2 weeks off and really back. And glad to be back.
Yeah, you had a nice little cruise with your family.
I knew we could do it. I love it.
Welcome back.
I love this show as a kid. Dig it out. I did. So 4 out of my 5 kids graduated this year. From something. One from nursing school, one from college, 2 from high school.
One from detention?
No. Well, the youngest. We still have hopes for her. Yeah. So we our big gift was to take everybody. This was their Christmas, their birthday, their all thing. We took everybody on a cruise, and it was just absolutely fantastic. We took all their caps and gowns, and so we had, you know, they have all the professional photographers that are on the cruise ship, and so we have this wonderful picture of all of the kids in their caps and gowns, or 4 out of the 5. And we have one of the pictures, 4 are all proud of their graduation and the 5th one's pouting. It's a beautiful, it's a great picture. So good to be back. Thanks, Becky.
Great family milestones. And you know, our show, we discuss real estate, but it truly is about family. Whether you're a family of 1 or a family of 15, we've helped everybody. And, I've always said I'm a social worker with a real estate license because our work really does involve family.
And it's the part of the business that I love is you jump in with people into their lives and you deep dive with them, because whatever's happening is a transition, and sometimes it's happy, sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's a mix of both. Mm-hmm. And it's just all these different kind of roller coaster of emotions. And our part is to show care, but also put a business hat on and keep it steady as she goes.
And, you know, if you guys were listening to the podcast before our show came on, it was the foot surgeon guy. What's that? Feet?
My feet hurt.
Yeah.
My feet are ruining my life. My feet are ruining my life.
Oh. And he was talking about when he watches the show afterwards, that's the first time he sees the life story of the before and then the consequence of the after the surgery and stuff, whatever treatment he's doing for this person and how it impacts their life, how it impacts their family. And so we are fortunate. In our profession, we see that up close and personal from the very beginning. The first thing you do is find out who owns the property. The second thing you do is find out why their motivation.
Yeah.
Because you want to help them accomplish what they want to accomplish, right? So, in order to do that, we have to deal sometimes with properties that, maybe aren't as easy to sell as others. And so we brought in Ron Shalott. Ron is our attorney, and he could be your attorney too. You just have to give him a call. Go to BeckyIvins.com. Over on the right-hand side, you're going to see Becky's favorite tab, and then his contact information is right there. What are we talking about this morning, Ron?
You know, this is just killing me. There's a hint.
There's a hint. Yeah.
We're talking about properties that have impaired value. And one of the things that you can look at to see whether a property has an impaired value is, was there a horrific crime on the property? You know, most people think of murder when they think of horrific crime. And we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Well, and there could be other things like the the site of a captive, who's been kidnapped and has been held captive or chained up or abused. And those kind of houses would have impaired value, wouldn't you think?
They would, because of their notoriety. The general term for all of these is called stigmatized properties. Properties that have a stigma attached to them, where they may look okay and they may be like the property next door or in the neighborhood, but yet something happened there that was very unpleasant. And if the new homeowner was aware of it, they may not be too pleased to reside there, especially overnight, or they may think they've paid too much for that because of the stigmatization that goes with the property.
You know, in California, they've got a guy that specializes in stigmatized properties. He calls it detrimental conditions that have an effect on the value of property.
In California, I would think we'd raise the price.
Sometimes, right?
Well, you do have properties, and you see these in California more often than not, where some famous person has lived there. And sure, everybody wants to own the house that Frank Sinatra owned or lived in, or that Paul Newman grew up in, or things like that. I saw that was up for sale was the Depp Heard house, the Johnny Depp Amber Heard house up for sale. So
yeah,
be interesting to see what kind of value that has, whether it goes up or down.
Yeah, and so it doesn't matter so much about the house as the feeling you get when you walk inside. Yeah. And I swear, I have had clients, a lot of clients, who have walked into a house and shiver and go, oh, no, I would never buy this house. And we'll go, well, okay, is it the paint color? What's the deal? No, it just doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right.
So we spend a lot of time helping homes feel right, don't we? By staging and moving furniture around. It. But I don't know if we could overcome some of these things.
If you want to join the conversation today, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. And on the line right now is our money man.
Money. NMLS number
1197740.
Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. Thanks for joining us this morning. How you doing, Matt? Oh, there he is. Oh, there you are. You're on now. How you doing, Matt?
Doing fantastic. Good morning, Mark and Becky.
Good morning. Listen, we kind of ran into each other at a closing on Thursday, didn't we? I'd forgotten.
We did.
I'd forgotten that you had helped that client with their loan. It was not.
Well, and
it started out being our client, but they had a family friend who was a realtor who brought the contract to us, and we had already sent them to you as a client.
Right, and we appreciate that.
And,
yes.
You did a. That was a fantastic job of getting that done.
Well, thank you, Becky. I appreciate that.
Yeah, some are more challenging than others, and we knew that could have been a little bit challenging, but and mainly because it was a very young kid buying a great big high priced home. But you made that work by a little bit of family money coming in as gifts and stuff.
A lot of moving parts, but yeah, it was somewhat complicated, but it worked out for everybody. So
when you know all the parts, it's a lot easier, right?
Right, exactly.
Matt, tell us what's going on in the market.
Well, I tell you guys, the only thing increasing this week were gasoline prices. Mortgage rates still continue to be fairly stable. And not a lot of movement, so they're good. A 30-year term will be right around the mid-fives to 5.75, and your 15-year term will be right around the 5%. So we've held steady for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and hopefully we continue that trend.
Very good. Well, if you want to contact Dean Riddell or Matt McLean at SWBC Mortgage,
You can give him a call at 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Or go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on Becky's favorites, and you'll see him right there at the top. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, we're talking about stigmatized properties, and we're going to be talking about, well, do you want to buy OJ's house? Was it increased or did it decrease in value? More right after this.
When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. We have Jerry on the line. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Good morning, Becky. It's good to hear from you. This is Jerry Johnson.
Oh, hey, Jerry. So do you have a question?
Yes, I do. My daughter's house in Norman is right in between Alameda and Lindsay, right on the bullseye, 81st Street, right where the turnpike's planned to go. And I talked to the OTA people, and they said that two independent appraisers would do appraisals on it. And if you're not happy with that, you can go to arbitration. And I'm just wondering, I've heard that, she's trying to get a estimate on what it would cost to rebuild her house as part of the negotiating. And I'm wondering, is it wise to get into a lawsuit with the OTA? Can they just arbitrarily use the eminent domain? Or is, I've heard that people have had to sue to get a reasonable price.
Well, the appraisers ought to be able to help you, but you have a legitimate concern about her being able to relocate with the lack of housing that's on the market right now. So to build another house is probably a legitimate approach to take to that. I don't think you would have to litigate that, though. I think that you're going to find that you're not the only one with that thought, and that has to be taken into consideration with OTA. Ron, what do you think about that?
Well, it depends upon the property, depends upon what you're talking about in terms of it going through. When you're looking at eminent domain, it is the value of the property as is today, not the value of the property if the improvement is made or other factors. So you look at the current value of the property, and if you don't like that, yes, you do go into litigation as an ultimate result on eminent domain, and you get to go to a jury to prove your values. And then you have to live with the consequence. There can be attorney's fees and court costs, but on the other hand, you can also spend money to get into that. So you really have to weigh your options, see where the valuation is, and see what the other valuations are as well.
Okay. Well, we're not really talking about improving it, just replacing it, replacement cost.
Right.
Well, and if you're looking today at building, the costs of building are higher than they used to be because of supplies so those values are going up, and that needs to be taken into account, and that's what the appraisers will need to consider. And you can have your own appraiser look at it and say, hey, you didn't take this into account or that into account, and you get into a battle of appraisers. Again, when you're talking about appraisals, you're talking about really an educated estimate, because you're not selling it to a willing buyer, willing seller, open market situation. This is a captive situation.
Yeah, so an appraiser, by the way, I would request that they do a cost approach as opposed to a sales approach, because this is a captive situation. And they can do – there's three ways to do an appraisal. You can do it from an income approach, as or an investment property, how much income will you get from it on an annual basis? Or you can do it on a market approach, like a sales approach, comparing it to other properties that have sold. Or you can do it on a replacement cost. Replacement cost is what I would request, even if you have to pay a little extra for the appraisers to do that. I think that would be worth the thing. And Jerry, go to some builders close by. I would get at least three. They have little printed footprints of the house, little, you know, elementary drawings of the floor plans with prices. Get something that's kind of equal in value. I mean, if your daughter lives in a Rosh Coleman home, you don't want to get a custom builder to quote it, or and vice versa. You need there's Rosh Coleman came to mind. It's a builder that builds the same plan over and over and over, so they know what their costs are to build that typically. Yeah. So
maybe somebody like Ideal Homes.
Yeah, depending on what style home your daughter has, be sure and look at the same. Ideal Homes is kind of the same thing. It's like they build the same plan over and over. So just get one approximately the same size with approximately the same makeup of the rooms and garage and that and lot. You don't want to go look at an acreage if you're on a city lot. So I would gather that information and just keep it and just have her just go shopping for a house.
It is about an acre and a half.
Oh, okay. Well, go shopping for a house and shopping for lots too then. So you can set yourself up a search. If you go to BeckyIvins.com, you'll be able to find a way to set up a search for land and for houses and for houses on land. And
all right. That's very good.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jerry. Good to hear from you. Jerry let us sell his dad's house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a very nice home in South Oklahoma City. So, okay, we're talking about stigmatized properties, and the fact is that they go down in value. That's just pretty much a fact if they're stigmatized. And so and how much do they go down in value? Well, there's been studies done. They go down typically. They average out about 10 to 15%, and that effect stays on the property for several years. Initially, it's hard to sell a stigmatized property for crime and murder and stuff like that the first year. After that, it is decreased in value for 2 or 3 or 4 years, pretty severely decreased. Then, over time, 10 or 15 years later, it still could have a bit of a residual effect, but somehow the value rebounds a little bit.
So we're talking about the stigmatized or psychologically impacted real estate. And Becky, here's the quiz.
Okay.
And Mark can chime in because he is a smart guy.
I'm prepared. Go for it.
If you have a house that was the site of a murder, do you have to disclose that?
Not in Oklahoma.
Really?
No, you don't have to. It's a psychological impact is the way it is defined. That is exempt from disclosure by the seller. This kind of started back. Oklahoma was one of the first states to do this, by the way. Back in about 83, I think it was, when AIDS was in the public eye, people were afraid to buy a house where someone with AIDS had lived for fear they may get it and die.
We are a little off on the date.
What is it?
89 is when the law went into effect.
Really?
Yeah. Well, AIDS really didn't get into effect into the 80s. You know, 83 is a little early for AIDS. So it was really came up, 86, where the large fears came. I had talked to a doctor who did a lot of research into it. He was explaining how it all worked to me. But, yes, there is actually a statute on it. It is in Oklahoma Statutes Title 59, Section 858-513, Psychologically Impacted Real Estate and the Disclosure Requirements. And, of course, we've got the fact that or suspicion that it might be psychologically impacted, including at the time infected with HIV, diagnosed with AIDS, et cetera, or that the real estate was or was at any time suspected to have been the site of a suicide, homicide, or other felony. Ready for this? Is not a material fact that must be disclosed in a real estate transaction.
Right. or if there's a ghost in the house.
This doesn't say about ghosts. So call. Of course, we'll let Mike get that up.
Yeah.
That's where to call. And there's no cause of action against a real estate agent for failing to disclose. So we've talked about this a little bit on property disclosures, that there are things that must be disclosed on the form. If there was prior manufacturing of methamphetamines, meth house certainly has to be. Condition that would impair health or safety of the occupants, other defects, the infamous other defects.
Right.
But this is not something which really kind of surprises me, because you would never know unless you go back to old news reports and see where they were located at.
Hmm. Well, there's more to talk about when it comes to stigmatized properties, and we're going to give you a couple of examples of that too.
Right after this, we're coming back with Word of the Day and Smoking That Deal on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins and our lawyer Ron Shalott, talking about stigmatized properties. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Murder.
Oh, you guys are killing me.
Murder.
You guys are just killing me today. I'll tell you what. Murder. All right. Well, that's a generic first year law school question, but when you think about it, what does that mean? Murder.
What does it mean, Ron?
Murder, she wrote.
Yeah.
Murder, the unlawful, which could be also be unjustified, killing of another. Okay? That's the technical dictionary definition. However, if you're looking at state statutes, state laws to determine the crime of murder, there's a little more sometimes to it, such as a premeditation, in other words, planned out, or a malice aforethought. That's deliberate intent, hate, and premeditated. So thinking ahead of time that you're going to do it. It is a type of homicide, which is just generally a killing of a human being. Side, C-I-D-E, killing human, hama, So killing of a human being. We in Oklahoma have degrees of murder, first degree and second degree murder. First degree murder is the malice aforethought, unlawful killing of another. So it's not a self-defense type of thing. But it is the premeditation involved. Second degree murder is if you're also committing another felony and you happen to kill somebody. Often it's one involving like a burglary or robbery, and you didn't go in intending to kill, but situations happened and you did. Or if you commit an especially dangerous act, and that causes a death. That can be a second-degree murder in Oklahoma. So murder has its specific definition, and it's not all killings of people, but it is a subset of homicides.
So if you're a DUI or something like that, and does Oklahoma deem it as a murder if someone gets killed in a traffic accident and someone's convicted of driving under the influence?
If they're committing a felony at the time of the killing, you can have a murder charge a second-degree murder charge, because you're committing another felony or you're committing a recklessly dangerous act that causes a death. So a DA could do that, but it's up to a district attorney to make that determination. Some of these are very fine lines, which when you read in the paper that someone's been arrested and arrest on a certain crime, the district attorney in Oklahoma has to make that decision there by county. And sometimes the decisions are difficult because they look at all the factors and they want to see all the police reports.
So when there's a murder in the house, that pretty much is a stigmatized property.
Stigmatized and could be psychologically impairing, as we as we've talked about. But again, it's not something that the disclosure form requires in Oklahoma. That's not true in every state, though.
So, what are there states that
there are,
where it's has to be disclosed?
There are states, and I'm aware of three. I don't know that there are any more than that. I don't think there are, but I'm aware of three. California is one of them. If it happened in the last 3 years, now.
You only have to disclose it if it's happened in the last 3 years?
That's the limit. So I guess that you wait.
So after that, there's
so
no
you wait
ghost.
37 after months Brian, and you're okay.
You're okay.
You get the exorcist out there and the ghost is gone. South Dakota, last 12 months. Alaska is within the last year. So you do have ones that if you wait long enough. And you have to think about, too, that how long would that stay with the property, you know, really? Because you have properties where people have died in them, have a heart attack, you know, pass away peacefully, fall, those kind of things, and have died in the property. How long should that stay on the property as a factor that would prevent somebody from buying it? And especially now we're looking at homes that have been sold and resold and resold again several times now in Oklahoma, Oklahoma City area especially. So how long would that, should that last on the property?
Well, in Oklahoma, it does not have to last at all because you don't have to disclose it. But how do you find out if, I mean, can you ask that question? Can you ask that question, Mark?
So you can ask that question. I get this all the time from buyers, or on a fairly regular basis, because sometimes it could come from a state or they have a thing thought that you have to disclose if something bad has happened in the home. Most of the time, that's what it's asked. Now, you have to tell me if something bad has happened here. So, well, in Oklahoma, it's not a disclosable factor. So if it really matters to you, the first thing I would encourage you is try to find the internet. It's there. Sometimes you can find it, sometimes you can't, if it matters to you. Or we can write the question, put it in writing to the seller, and we can ask them. They are not required to answer the question.
Well, and actually, you have to ask that along with a bona fide offer to the property, because the seller is, we as realtors are not charged with the duty of asking a seller that question unless it comes along
with an offer,
with a bona fide offer. Yeah. It can't be like an offer for $2 or something. It has to be like a bona fide offer. And then we can, the buyer, prospective buyer, has to put that in writing. And then the seller can answer it or doesn't have to answer it. Of course, the buyer can decide, well, if you're not answering that, I'm not buying your property, which is, you know, that's everybody's choice.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you have to ask for it in writing.
Well, the seller may not even know. You know, they may not know the history of the property. They may have picked up the property in the intermediate time. However, if you're buying a property from an estate, a probate estate, for example, then maybe you'll want to think about that. But not always is that the case, that someone has passed away in the property itself.
Do you know, I've got some friends whom you know who have had several deaths in their house, and they consider that an asset because they were loving, peaceful occurrences with all family around these people, and they consider that that is a very good spirit in that house.
So peaceful ghosts.
Peaceful, yeah. I don't think they think there's any ghost around, but
we're getting into the Casper now. Out of my I've owned four homes personally in my lifetime that purchased. Two out of the four had made the news in some way,
Whoa.
Two out of the four.
If you make the news, it's usually not,
good.
Because
so
it's
one
beautiful
of them,
yard.
One of them was being used as a storage house for crimes in the neighborhood. they were robbing houses, and they were storing all the stuff in that house. I didn't find that out till after I'd purchased the house. You know, didn't affect me. The other one was somebody had died, elderly person died in the home. No one knew they died for quite some time.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That one was a little bit more.
Well, there's a lot of people who die in homes.
In home, right.
Violent
sure.
deaths in home.
Yep.
That stigmatizes the property.
And there is a service out there, I know of at least one, that specialize in murder cleanups.
Oh, yes. I actually had somebody do that one time. I had sold a house, and there was a boyfriend of an adult daughter came over, and the adult daughter shot him dead right there in the entry. And I called my other client who worked at the crime lab for Oklahoma City Police Department, was a chemist there, and said, who do you get to clean up these things? Well, there are a couple of companies that came to her mind, and, you know, and they're biologic cleanup or something like that.
They do remediation, and the ones that I've looked at are very discreet. In other words, you don't want, you know, murderer us, you know, with the big signs in the front yard or anything. You know, you try to be discreet about it and quiet about it, but there can be a lot of things to clean up, especially if it's been a length of time, you know, the chemical issues, odor issues, things of that nature, which is, you know, part of the reason for the meth manufacturing disclosure, is because the manufacturing of methamphetamine in a house gets into the carpet, gets into the drywall. And I know we've had the question come up before with one of the home inspectors. What happens if you get the inkling that it's there? And we've had home inspectors tell us they won't even go further inspection because of the problems with the chemicals.
Well, it can get into, like, if you touch drywall with your hand, the chemical can enter your system. I sold one of the first meth houses in our area, and the little guy that bought it from me, I'd sold the grandparents' house and the parents' house and stuff, but he came to buy this house, and he said, he called me, and he said, now, Becky, it's a meth house, so you'll have to be real careful not to touch anything. And he brought me gloves to put on and a mask to wear, and it had already been cleaned up, but it had not been posted that it had been cleaned up yet. And so I stood at the front door while he looked at the house, and he bought it. And I've resold it since then. So, you know, meth is will impair the health or safety.
Now, the question that I think Mark posed, which is, well, how would you know? And if you're really concerned about it, you can go, for example, Oklahoma County, to the Oklahoma County Assessor website, see who owned the property before, look at the names, and you can check those names on a search engine site to see if anything happened with regard to those names or happened with regard to that specific location and the property. So there are ways you can check on that if that is really important to you.
So I see an industry out there, a sleuth industry for stigmatized properties.
Well, when we come back, we're going to come back with a meth-free, to our knowledge, smoking hot deal right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It's time for Smoking Hot Deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian, and soon in Yukon.
Today's the day, Mark. We have dance recital of grandkids, and we're all meeting at Casa Perico's on 122nd to... We might go to 63rd because the dance recital is at Bishop McGinnis. So it might be. Yeah, so we'll go eat there. It has been, this is a record, 4 weeks since I have eaten at Casa Perico's.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mm.
You're being missed.
I miss it. It's delicious. So we're talking about stigmatized properties, properties that have had murder in them and stuff.
Yep, but we need our smoking hot deal, which is 1709 Pennington.
Pennington Circle, and that's in Oakwood East in Midwest City. This is Choctaw Schools. It is a two-story home with the master bedroom downstairs, two bedrooms upstairs, plus there's an extra small little bonus space. The current residents are actually using that as another bedroom. And it is about 1650 square feet, has a nice big yard with big tall trees in it, a good two-car garage, good roomy two-car garage, and it is priced at $209,000. That hit the market late yesterday, so we expect there to be some showings this weekend, and it's a pretty house. It's in a pretty neighborhood, very popular neighborhood, Oakwood East is. And 1650 square feet for $209,000. It is a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath.
It's located in Choctaw Schools, I believe.
Choctaw Schools, yep. Yes.
Great. Okay. So if that is ringing a bell for you or someone you know, you can give us a call at the office at 405-722-3232 or go to BeckyIvins.com and you can click on search listings and you can take a look at it right there, take a virtual tour, and also sign up. If you would go see it in person, we'll show it to you.
Yeah, there's a contact me button or contact us or something like that on the website. Okay, Ron, we've got a few minutes left. What are we going to talk about stigmatized properties?
Well, you were talking about the valuation of them. Of course, this is a very unusual time in real estate where the value of properties is just skewed, and it may correct or may not. Who knows? And so when we're looking at the damage to the value, it was in a normal year, 2 to 3 years where there would be a percentage lost. And it can take, a good decade before people really forget, before all the neighbors move and people don't remember that this is where that occurred. Although Oklahoma City is such a big city, so you don't have the same thing as you would in a small town. But in this kind of market, what would you think this market would be doing with a stigmatized or psychologically impaired property?
Well, I would say that there are a good number of people that would not affect anyway. It would not affect them to purchase a stigmatized property. I have a sister who purchased a home, and I said, doesn't it bother you that the guy committed suicide here? And she looked down, and there was this enormous dark place on the rug, on the carpet, because he had used a shotgun. And she goes, she's a nurse, all my sisters are nurses, but she goes, peroxide will get that right out. And it didn't seem to bother her at all. There are people that it doesn't bother.
Well, if you're purchasing it for an investment or to rent out, that's a whole lot different situation than if you're purchasing it for you and your family to live in.
Right, because, most people would want to know if there's a murder in the house, and they may go to a different house or delay purchasing. But there's a lot of murder going on in the place. Mike Gannon... About a year ago, one of your neighbors, right?
Yeah, a year ago, there was that big murder-suicide quarter mile from where I grew up and house I live in now.
Yeah.
So,
and has it sold?
No.
Is it vacant?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. So even though, has it been for sale, though?
No, there has been no signage up or anything. So
okay.
So I don't know what, I would assume there was a mortgage on the house. The person was a veteran, So who knows what's tied up when it comes to taking care of all that on the league, on the money side.
It takes time to clean up that kind of stuff.
So you end up with a situation where a murder may or may not impair the value today in the present climate, but as the climate changes, as inventory becomes more plentiful, then you might again have a psychological impact with these nefarious acts occurring on a property. So when you're looking at it, though, you can ask the question. It's not required to be disclosed. You can look online and look for news reports, look for locations, look under names, look in the county assessor for prior owners of the property. And in Oklahoma County especially, you can even go to the recorder of deeds if you know the lot and block or legal description. And you can go back very far online. Certainly you can go to the courthouse to the county clerk's office where the property records are, and they will help you. And in Oklahoma especially, the county clerks are just wonderful people. They really try to help you research properties if you're really interested in that.
Yeah. David Hooten's office, he's our county clerk now, and he does a fantastic job of has some of the most helpful staff ever. If you go up there, they just kind of will walk you through things.
My motto in this is ignorance is bliss. So I know life has happened in my home before I purchased it. For the most part, I don't want to know. I just want to love my home, love where it is, love the existence. I know people's lived there before.
And you
I
can,
don't want to know.
You can change the vibe of your home
right.
by having your happy home and having it as a nice place and putting the positive into it.
That's it.
You know,
that's
the happy home has always been in my logo. It's a little smiley house, the happy home. But the thing we're talking about really is not life happening in your home prior to your purchasing it. It's death happening in your home prior to your purchasing
it. Well, it's life ending.
Life
ending.
Right.
There you that's go. There is always a difference between a house and a home. You move your home into a house. And your home has a good vibe. It's going to radiate through the house.
That's it. So, Ron Chalot, thank you so much for being here with us. And as always, it's always fantastic when you're here. Thank you, listeners, for being with us. We look forward to being with you back next week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.